There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
With an eye on all 32 teams, the obvious focus is the Final Four best single Sunday of the football season.
No doubt about
yes.
that.
Yes. Field Yates, Damian Woody, Rob Ninkovich. I'm Susie Kalber, Steve Young also joining us in just a little bit. So let's go. We're just 2 days away from Championship Sunday. The NFC title game will pit a pair of familiar foes. The Niners knocked Green Bay out of the postseason in both 2012 and 13. On the AFC side, the Chiefs and Titans will meet in Kansas City, with both teams seeking their first Super Bowl berth this century. We're all over both matchups. Ed Werder and Diana Rossini covering the Chiefs and Titans. Rob Domofsky with the Packers. And Mark Schwarz will be with the 49ers. We will cover them as well. So let's get things going with Ed, spending a nice week in Kansas City with the Chiefs. And, of course, Ed, this is a rematch. So how does that impact the mindset?
Yeah, Susie, you know, despite Andy Reid's 1-8 record against the Titans, his worst against any opponent in his 21 seasons as an NFL head coach, the Chiefs' failure in Nashville in Week 10 provides an indication of the resourcefulness of this Kansas City team. First, that was Patrick Mahomes' first game back from a dislocated kneecap. He was wearing a brace, and it's the only time in his 34 NFL starts he had no rushing attempts, even with their quarterback limited, even while allowing a defensive touchdown and failing twice to make a game-tying field goal. The Chiefs scored 32 points. Points and lost by three on the road. The Chiefs have not lost since. They're 7-0. Mahomes has regained his MVP form. They're hosting the AFC Championship game for the second straight year. You either win or you learn. It seems the Chiefs learned something in Nashville.
Listen, you learn from all of them, win or lose, but maybe we didn't play the best. Obviously, we didn't play the best that we could play. And they played very well, you know, so, and they got after us. I mean, they kicked our tail that day. And so, you know, there's a point in every season where you go, hey, listen, we can pick it up. It could be early, could be later, but, you know, that was a point where we probably all took it up a notch and needed to.
Well, tight end Travis Kelce's been limited throughout the week of practice, but he's expected to play. Kelce demonstrated last week he could perform while playing injured and with a limited snap count. He played just 43 snaps against the Texans, his fewest this season, and still became the first player in NFL playoff history with three touchdown catches in a single quarter. The Titans have allowed 9 touchdowns to tight ends, the most among playoff teams. And defensive tackle Chris Jones's status is uncertain as he continues to miss practice with a calf injury. Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo considers Jones his most disruptive player in the front seven and the one, Susie, most capable of making negative plays in the running game against Derrick Henry. And, oh, by the way, I'm just told Jones did return to practice today. We'll have more from him and the rest of the Chiefs a little bit later.
All right, that is good news. Critical component of that defense. Thank you, Ed. The Chiefs finished 3 games ahead of the Titans in the standings, but these teams have been on similar paths since that Week 10 meeting, both teams averaging 31.3 points per game, and each has won 7 games. And again, the Chiefs have not lost since that thriller in Nashville. Guys, what are you most excited about with this matchup? Damien, you go first.
Styles make fights, to use boxing vernacular. So you have the Tennessee Titans, who are like a boxer, they're delivering body blows because that's what their style of football is. Their offensive line, they're just tossing people everywhere. And then you got this battering ram, that 6'3", 248-pound back in Derrick Henry, who's just slamming it up in there. And then you're going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, their offense, they can come out like Mike Tyson and deliver a blow and knock you out in like one single punch. So to me, it's like analytics Twitter against old school football Twitter. It's going to be a good watch.
What do you think?
I think it really comes down to, so they've had the two most potent offenses in the postseason so far, just being done in very different ways. It's the Derrick Henry show in Tennessee, and I understand that the Chiefs have played just one game, but still, 51 points. They are as explosive as any offense, not just the 4 that are still playing. But the Chiefs offense can hum at any given time. For the Titans to continue to lean on Derrick Henry, They have to keep this game competitive. They can't go down by 14 points or 20 points and say to themselves, all right, you know what, we can go back to Derrick Henry. Time is of the essence when you're a running football team. So which team can dictate terms and allow their offense to run as they prefer to run it has the best chance to win on Sunday. If the Titans keep it close, they've got a shot for a third straight upset.
It comes down to one thing, stopping the run. Kansas City spent $113 million guaranteed money this offseason. And coming into this game right now, I rewatched that Week 10 matchup. And Henry had some big runs in that game. And at the end of the game, within 2 minutes left of the game, Kansas City had the ball with a chance. That all they needed was a first down. They couldn't get it done. So it's going to come down to which team makes the least amount of mistakes. And can Tennessee continue to run the football with success? And can Kansas City, can they stop the run? It's all going to come down to that. And they've been talking about that all week. I'm sure Kansas City's sick of hearing it. We got to stop this guy. We got to stop this guy. That's all what it's going to come down to. Because at the end of the day, if it's put in Ryan Tannehill's hand to throw over 100 yards, he hasn't done in the playoffs yet. So we'll see.
Yeah, but it sort of reminds me, tackling Derrick Henry is kind of like what I think of when all these coaches who faced Lamar Jackson this year. I remember Pete Carroll talking about, in glowing terms, how great he looked on film. And then after the game, he was like, man, once you actually play the guy, whole different kettle of fish. That's what Derrick Henry is like. So when you talk about tackling him, like the Ravens chirped about last week, you know, we're different than the Patriots, talk is cheap. You better be ready for it. And the Chiefs have not been talking about how they're different. They're going to make sure that Derrick Henry controls this game. They've shown respect this week, which is really important because it just takes one run from Derrick Henry to just take your will, grab it from inside of you, and remove it from your
Let
from
me
your
tell
body.
You, when you're 6'3", 248, people start making business decisions. Mm-hmm. We're just going to see, is the game going to stay close enough where we start to see those business decisions start being made?
Especially when I was watching the game with friends last week and I said that, your comment. Everybody chuckled.
You started seeing it. And Baltimore was like, wait a minute, I don't want to hit this guy.
It's going to take every single player on the field, though.
Yeah.
That first play of the game, there better be 11 hats on the football.
Yeah.
Every single player on the field needs to get to the ball. That's how you stop a
good
running back.
Just to see what Mike Vrabel has up his sleeve. You know they're showing up with swag.
It's going to
so
be cold,
fun.
Too. You it's hate be... tackling in the cold. Oh, it's as if it wasn't already enough.
Hey, let's move on to the NFC title game. Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners host Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Garoppolo is in his sixth season. He's posted very similar numbers to what Rodgers did in his year six. That ended with Rodgers lifting the Lombardi Trophy, something the Niners are two wins away from doing. Here's their tackle, Mike McGlinchey, on his quarterback.
You know, you hear the talk that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is superior to, we think, and I think, not that Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer, but we're very confident the number 10 is just as good as anybody out there, and he's proven that time and time again this year. We ran the ball 47 times against Minnesota. What's wrong with that? You know, what's wrong with our team doing that? Why does it have to fall back on a negative to Jimmy that he didn't do it? And we know we did enough. We won the game by 17 points and dominated the entire game. That's what people don't understand is this, that they need, on the outside world, they need flash. They need something to prove to somebody somewhere that it needs to look like a certain way, or media need to talk about it a certain way.
They love their quarterback. This is a classic matchup. What are you looking forward to most?
I can't wait to watch pass rush. Both sides. The Smith brothers, you got Bosa. And I love watching that as a defensive player, defensive end. I love watching pass rush. So it's going to be a great game to watch. You got two quarterbacks out there. You got two defenses looking to get after them. And we'll see who gets after them the most.
So for me, this is like, it's psychological. Because I go back to a game, back in 2010, when I was with the Jets, we played New England Patriots. And they beat us down 45-3. And we faced off against the Patriots in the playoffs. And so my question is, can the 49ers guard against, you're watching that film, you know,
we beat them down.
Yeah. And it is so psychological. You go in the game, and on the flip side, the Packers are like, man, we got to avenge ourselves. Like, they literally took our will. So, to me, it's not necessarily X's and O's. It's the psychological aspect of a rematch when one team got beat down by the other team.
And to that psychological edge, you got the 49ers, prohibitive favorites in this game, number one seed in the NFC, a team that has just been bludgeoning top competition all year. They're battle-tested. They go on the road and beat New Orleans. Then you got the Packers, who, I get it, they're the number two seed. But everybody's saying, well, look at their point differential. They win ugly. They have close games against the Lions this year, against the Redskins. Are they as good as their record indicates? We'll talk again. We'll be cheap on Sunday when we finally have these two teams facing off. And as we've already talked about, 37-8, the last time these two teams played. It really wasn't much of a contest, but Devontae Adams amongst the players were not available during that last game. So for the Packers, I think Damian's right in saying, you know, for the 49ers, it's let's not make sure we're too comfortable. For the Packers, it's they've been doubting us all year. It's just what we've been doing. It's worked 14 times already this season.
Susie, I think, listen, the trenches is obviously is where most games are won and lost. But can Aaron Rodgers not just have a moment, but have like that full game? It seemed like this year we've seen
lots of
moments of old Aaron Rodgers, but in order for the Packers to beat the 49ers in Santa Clara, we're going to need to see the old Aaron Rodgers put it all together against that really, really good 49ers defense.
Yeah, Packers' last loss was there in Santa Clara.
Wow.
But they haven't lost since. So they are a completely different team than that team they – okay. our Hall of Fame quarterback, Steve Young, is with us now to talk about our final four quarterbacks. So, Steve, let's run through what you believe is the key for each of these quarterbacks to be successful on Sunday. And let's start with Ryan Tannehill.
Well, the 20% chance that they get to play their game, which is run the football, keep the score under 28, and Patrick Mahomes somehow can't get going, that's fine. Ryan Tannehill knows how to win in the playoffs, and you guys have just talked about that. But in, you know, reality, the game is going to need more than four touchdowns. And Ryan Tannehill is going to have to be responsible. It's not just going to be Derrick Henry running the football. He's going to have a more expansive football game. He can do it. It's going to be fun to watch because I think that the Titans should go in thinking, you know what, we got nothing to lose. And Ryan should feel the same way. In many ways, he's a guy that can make a big name for himself more than anybody else in the playoffs this weekend.
And how about Patrick Mahomes? He returns to the championship stage on Sunday.
I love that he feels like he's completely healthy, feels like the team is as good as they've been, and I think that they're ready now after the existential scare last week of almost being bounced in the playoffs early, that they are now ready to go expansively. The 51, they're not going to score 51 against the Titans, but I know that Patrick Mahomes is going to be, you know, he's looking to be the MVP, not just of the playoffs, but of the season, but of the Super Bowl. I mean, I think this is the time for Andy Reid to get off the schneid, right? This is his chance, and then Patrick Mahomes, they're going to ride him in a big way.
And Damian was just making the point about Aaron Rodgers that, you know, in this new offense, he hasn't had a complete game. There are great moments. What do you expect from him?
I agree with Damian 100%. There's no way that the Packers beat this team, the 49ers, without Superman. And I mean, Aaron Rodgers carrying the football out of the huddle. Like, I'm going to run for 50, 60 yards. I'm going to change the dynamic. I'm going to put doubt into the front four. I'm going to put worry in their minds that I don't know where he's going to be. Because otherwise, if they're just going to sit him behind the center and they're going to try to run the football, they are going to get beat. They cannot do the thing. The thing that they've won with recently, Susie, is not what's going to help them win over the 49ers.
All right, finally, Jimmy G, biggest game of his young career.
Yeah, and I think if he gets in a shootout, then it's going to be a real challenge. And I think that Jimmy's shown that he can win the shootout. He's also shown that he can, like last week, manage a football game. Both are huge, you know, pluses for quarterbacks to be able to do. I think he's an athlete about the position, especially in his first full year. He's going to say, look, Kyle, you tell me what to do and I'll do it. You want me to go score 48 in New Orleans? I'll do that. You want me to hang back and let this running game handle it in the defense? I'll do that as well. As long as he can not be the reason they lose. You know, throw that couple of touchdowns, you know, those couple of interceptions, fumble for return for a touchdown. That's the kind of thing that he just can't allow to happen.
Big time pressure on all four quarterbacks. Steve, stick around. We'll be back later. We've got quarterback bingo. We know you love that. We're going to touch on some other quarterbacks who have
question marks.
Okay, good. See you in a bit. Like we have all season, we're going to break down the biggest games in a take-your-pick style. So the NFC Championship game. Now, remember, when we do these matchups, this is not career.
Yeah.
It's just this game. So, guys, who are you taking at quarterback?
I mean,
Damien, you're first.
Oh, I'm first. Okay.
You going?
I'm glad you said that because –
Just this game. There you go.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Interesting.
Yeah, listen. And then a lot of it has to do with, obviously, you got George Kittle, who, you know, you could lay a claim that he might be the best tight end in the National Football League, Emmanuel Sanders, Debo, you know, Samuels. They got a plethora of weapons, even running backs that you can throw the ball to. But Aaron Rodgers got to face that pass rush, that number one passing defense. So that's an easy one to me.
Yep. Rob, running backs.
Well, I'm going with
the three-headed monster with San Francisco. I mean, look, you got Breida, you got some really, really explosive running backs in Coleman and Mostert. They led the team in rushing. When you look at what they have in the backfield defensively, you have to game plan for who's in the game. They have three guys who are very explosive. Different styles, but they all are very productive. They can catch the ball out of the backfield. And with that, I have to go with the 49ers.
No Aaron Jones?
That's one guy. I said three. Three-headed monster.
I gotcha.
That's tough.
I gotcha.
Three guys.
All right, before we hit the pass catchers, update us here.
George Kittle, who we know missed practice on Wednesday, returned to practice on Thursday. He's good to go. It's an ankle issue. They just want to make sure that he is as good as he can be at this juncture of the season. And really, when you're in week 19, what's the difference between one less or one more practice? George Kittle should be good to go, which is part of the reason why I am giving the edge again to the 49ers for their pass catchers. The midseason acquisition of Emmanuel Sanders, that one has really paid off. George Kittle, the most unstoppable tight end in football, at least in the NFC right now, he's tremendous. Plus, the backs are a factor in the passing game as well. So maybe the Packers can lay claim to some of that disrespect they were just talking about, because we're 3-for-3 on picking the 49ers.
And the Packers have been torched by top tight ends. We've heard that already. Rob, defense?
Well, this is looking one-sided. But we're going to go with the – look, both teams here have awesome pass rush, both sides. They have great pass rushers. But, look, this 49ers defense, it's not just Bosa. They have multiple guys that can get after the quarterback. They have a secondary that can cover. That's why I am choosing the San Francisco 49ers on defense.
The Niners defense gave up just 7 first downs.
Mm. Wow.
Third most ever
very
in a playoff.
Very impressive.
Yeah. Tremendous. Thank you. Okay, special teams.
I'm going to break the streak here. I'm going to go with the Packers, who we know Mason Crosby's had a bounce back year this year after some questions about whether he'd be on the roster this year. J.K. Scott, very effective second-year punter. We talked all about these great moves that Brian Gutekunst has made for the Packers. Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, 2 first-round picks have contributed. But how about Tyler Irvin, who was acquired on waivers mid-season? And I know that's a less-than-spectacular punt return you're seeing there. There was a point this year when the Packers had zero, and I mean literally zero punt return. They had no yardage in the return game. They could not get those coveted hidden yards that can be game-changing plays. Really sharp move by Brian Gutekunst to add Tyler Irvin, and that special team's edge is a slight one, but I give it to Green Bay.
All right, final category, coaching. Damian.
Got to go with the San Francisco 49ers on the coaching aspect. Listen, I think they had the best play caller out of the four teams right now in Kyle Shanahan. Just the most diverse scheme that you're probably going to see on offense, and then defensively, they have a system where it's not complicated, but they have rush, cover. They keep it simple so guys can play fast. So I'm going to get an edge to the San Francisco 49ers.
Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur go back 12 years together. We're on 3 different teams together. They know each other very well. Makes things fascinating. Derrick Henry has carried the Titans this month, accounting for 69% of the team's scrimmage yards. That would be a record for a single postseason. Eric Dickerson is the only player who has even eclipsed 60% of his team's scrimmage yards, doing so in 1985. The Chiefs' defense weighed in on Henry, starting with Tyrann Mathieu.
Thank Henry, you know, obviously put together a great season, you know, done a lot of great things for his team, and they're really leaning on him. And I think the mentality is, you know, somebody's going to have to stop him. Somebody's going to have to make a tackle on him if we want to get to Miami. So, it's one goal, one objective to win the game. But in order to do that, we know we gotta slow down on 22, no doubt.
Yeah, you guys just take his legs out. We talked all week to kill the engine. Hit him in his thighs and his legs, chop him down. When you tackle him high, he tends to, you know, carry you for about 5 more yards. So hit him low and all legal within the game, but just you got to just hit him lower.
Okay, guys, Henry's on fire. We have our eye on defensive tackle Chris Jones, who Edward told us earlier in the show, did practice today. That's good news. But, Rob, what would be your plan to try to stop Derrick Henry?
Well, I put it this way. You cannot stop him. A good player is going to make plays, but you try to minimize the damage. And I'm going to show you a couple plays here on another team stopping his feet. If you can penetrate the line of scrimmage and make him stop his feet, that's when you can have success. And watching some of these plays during the year, when he makes that sudden stop and then has to regain himself, you need other guys around the ball. And also playing across the line of scrimmage. If you're getting pushed back across and you're getting beat on line of scrimmage, that offensive line is doing the best of moving the line of scrimmage back, you're going to have big positive yardage. So I would say stopping his feet, number one, and playing physical at the line of scrimmage. I can remember back in 2014, we were playing the Super Bowl all week. For 2 weeks, we talked about playing Lynch and how every single play it's going to take everyone on the field, not just one guy. So I'm going to show you a clip of the first defensive snap that we were on the field. I want you to watch how many guys are around the football. This was talked about all week. It's not just one guy. It's the whole team has to be there to stop Lynch. So with that, it's not going to be one guy. It's going to be the whole defense. Everyone, I fell down on this play. Get back up. Get in there. Get in the mix. Get in the mix. Get after the ball carrier. And if you can do that the whole game, you're going to have success. And you're going to minimize some of those big plays that he had if everyone is doing their job. I don't care if you're a corner or across the field. When you see him get the ball, you need to be on your horse and get to that horse because he's a big man and he's going to run hard. So you're going to have to get after him from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. Nobody stopped him so far. So you got to minimize the damage that he can create with his legs.
That's going to be so cool to watch for now in the game. So how about if you are his offensive lineman? What's the key for blocking for a back like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the bigger backs, they want to get downhill in the hurry. So the critical thing is you got to somehow cut the defense in half. Somebody has to make a critical block, you know, backside. Usually it's on the backside of a running play where he can get downhill and he doesn't have to stutter and stop and move his feet. And once this freight train gets going downhill, trust me, that's when business decisions are being made. And over time, during the game, you know, when he's carrying the ball 25, 30, 30-plus times, that wears on the defense. So that offensive line is going to continue to, you know, lean and weigh on that Kansas City Chiefs defensive line. And I think the biggest key, and I think Phil talked about it earlier in the show, can they keep the score within distance?
Right.
Don't let the score get out of hand where you get out of your game plan.
We talked about the offensive line just now. Certainly, we've talked a lot about Derrick Henry. But some of that downfield blocking's opened up because the wide receivers are doing right. Their job at the second and third level. We don't talk about wide receiver blocking. That's not what guys get paid for. But part of the reason why we have grown to respect players like Larry Fitzgerald, who have been so tough in that facet of the game, is because they find work. And these wide receivers for Tennessee have to know that if they do their assignment, one that might not necessarily matter on 7 out of 8 runs, but if they do it on that 8th run, it could be the difference between an 8-yard Derrick Henry gain and a 58-yard Derrick Henry gain. So it really is a 10-man approach to blocking for Derrick Henry. And then sometimes he can just do whatever he wants, no matter how it's blocked up. But it's been a total team effort from the Titans, who have really found all these pieces on offense that have been great complementary options during the playoffs.
Rushing for 180 yards a game.
Ridiculous.
In the last three games. Mm. You talk about defense getting tired. Like, what about him? Except this has kind of been his MO going back to Bama.
You know, you don't
get tired.
You don't get tired. When you're running the ball like that, that's when you find your second win.
Mm-hmm. And if anything, he picks up steam as the game goes on.
Got a week 16 off, by the way.
Okay. He's back, and that's great for the league. Back for year 17, and that will set a new wide receiver record for most seasons played with a team. Fitzgerald currently shares that record with Jerry Rice and Tim Brown. Yesterday, Wendy Nix and Victor Cruz caught up with the future Hall of Famer.
And we're thrilled to have with us Larry Fitzgerald. Larry, congratulations. Another one-year deal coming back for a 17th NFL season. When I say 17 years, I mean, did it go by in an instant? What does that make you think of?
Well, I mean, it has gone by fast when you look at it, but that can be said for anybody that's done anything for a long time. You look up and, you know, you got gray hair coming out of your chin, and it just goes by quickly like that. But it's still just as much fun when I got in the league at 20 years old. You know, the guys around me have got a lot younger, so it keeps you young also.
Is that the reason why come back?
Well, I enjoy the day-to-day process, you know, being around, you know, Christian Kirk and, you know, Chase Edmonds and Trent Sherfield and the young guys like that every day. I mean, their exuberance and youthful spirit always, you know, rubs off on you. It makes you want to go and, you know, be able to compete with those guys and get them better. They make me better. And, you know, I enjoy the process.
So now in 17 years, Fitz, I know how you take your preparation in the offseason very, very seriously. Tell me what things you do different now in 17 years than you did maybe in year one, two, or three.
I play a lot more golf now, Vic, in the offseason. I think that's the key to longevity, man.
I love it.
Mental longevity.
I mean, I still train very hard. I still do all the same things I did. I don't do to the same level in terms of the volume, but I do everything I need to get myself mentally and physically prepared, because it's still, you still got to go out there and run the routes and gain the separation and catch the ball and do the things that are required to play the position. But, you know, there's some things that I've definitely cut out to be able to try to keep my body fresh for the duration of the season.
Larry, you know, it's interesting because you've had some very positive comments about the young quarterback, Kyler Murray, and his rookie season. You know, you were there. We watched from afar, but you're there. What stood out to you from what he did in year one?
Well, his physical gifts are the first thing that stand out when you see him throw the football, when you see him, you know, rolling out of the pocket or scrambling, and how fast, how quick, you know, he's able to be with his feet in the decision-making process, how he's able to digest the defenses and get the ball to the right player or person or read that he has. And, you know, it's really special what he can do with the football. You know, you see a smaller stature guy, but when the ball comes out of his hand, it's like a rocket. And he can throw every single pass from the deep ball to intermediate, short passes. I mean, he can do it all, moving left to right. I mean, so his talent is just, you know, out of this world.
All right, before we let you go, we got four teams left. Who you got playing in the Super Bowl? I don't need a winner, but who goes?
Oh, man. I mean, last week, seeing the way Kansas City was able to score 51 points essentially in three quarters, I mean, that's tough to deal with. They're going to be at home, and playing at Arrowhead is a very difficult place. I think they're going to come out on top, even though Tennessee's been playing amazing. And on the NFC side, you know, the way San Francisco is able to stop the run and also rush the passer, I mean, it's going to be very difficult for Green Bay to be able to have, you know, sustain possessions, you know, against that tough defense. I think San Francisco is probably going to get them.
All right, Larry, we appreciate Larry Fitzgerald joining us from the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions in Orlando, Florida. We appreciate the time.
Fitz, hit a hole-in-one for me, baby.
Hit him straight.
Well, I'm going to do my best. Wendy, stop running from me.
Very good. Thanks, everyone. Now, let's take the conversation to the young quarterbacks. Last year, the Cardinals took Kyler Murray with the number one overall draft pick. This season, Heisman Trophy winner LSU's Joe Burrow is expected to be the number one overall pick, which the Bengals currently own. Burrow checks in second in Todd McShay's most recent draft rankings. He trails only Ohio State edge rusher Chase Young. Burrow and Young currently expected to go off the board 1-2 in April's draft. Should Burrow go to the Bengals? Sounds like the family's on board.
He's excited to even be in that conversation. And if the Bengals do draft him, he's going to be happy. And he's always been, you've probably seen some of his interviews. He's very confident. And, you know, he'll look at it as a challenge, but he'll be confident that eventually they can win a lot of games there at Cincinnati.
Okay, so we know that Burrow, he played high school ball there in Ohio, and he was at Ohio State before transferring, as we welcome Steve Young back in with us. So, Steve, I think there's some comparisons here. Your first NFL experience was with the Bucs, who, like the Bengals of today, were a struggling franchise. So what advice would you have for Burrow as he likely lands with a team that's rebuilding?
Well, Susie, you should do what I did. I was going to be the number one draft pick at Cincinnati, and I decided to go to the USFL. So I think Joe should go to the USFL and play in Los Angeles and live on the beach. That's what I think he should do. But that notwithstanding, not a possibility. What I would the mistake I made, and I really made this mistake throughout my career, is not being more aggressive in the right way in working with general managers and coaches in making sure that I had all the help that I needed. You know, in the NFL, you can say, oh, you're a franchise quarterback. Great. Well, where's your help? Because you're not going to be a franchise of anything unless you don't have a lot of guys. That's especially offensive line, obviously receivers and backs, and then a defensive line. And if I could go back, I would go, and if I was Joe Burrow right now and it looked like it was to be Cincinnati, you can negotiate. The number one guy can negotiate, and it can start today. Go meet with them. Talk about their plans. And be inside of all of that. And not that you have to be pounding the table or make things feel awkward, but just that you're concerned. Because I've seen Aaron Rodgers, I've seen others that have suffered at times because they don't get the help that they need. And so if you're going to be Joe Burrow, you're going to go to Cincinnati and take this whole thing on. Well, you know what? I want to make sure I get as much help as I possibly can. I want to know about it because I want to know where you're putting those resources because there's, you know, the minimum salaries for everybody in the cap. There's a lot of money to go around. Where are you putting it? And I want to know what's the offensive philosophy, all that stuff. I would get involved in that really early. Get rid of the college hijinks, move on, and become a pro.
It's really great advice. And Joe can only hope things work out as well for him as they did for Hall of Famer Steve Young.
Yes, right? Indeed.
Now let's go hit some other teams, and we'll go off the field this week instead of on the field because it's been a very busy week for coaching moves. You know, we know who all the head coaches are, but a lot of movement at coordinator. So let's start with Dallas.
Yeah, in this case, no movement in the sense that Kellen Moore is staying as the Cowboys offensive coordinator. But more pertinently, Susie, Mike McCarthy, the new head coach, has said he'll continue play calling. Now, does that mean he'll do so unilaterally? I suspect no. Mike McCarthy has been a play caller for a long time. He'll want to have some influence, but Kellen Moore will stay, and part of the incentive is for the opportunity to continue to call plays for the second year. Now, of course, his former boss, Jason Garrett, is looking for a job, and he recently interviewed for the Giants offensive coordinator gig, which Joe Judge is looking at incumbent coordinator Mike Shula for as well, but they're going to have to make a decision there. And it's a really influential role. You've got Daniel Jones, who certainly looked promising during his rookie year at times, but he's got to find a way to scale back on turnovers and make some progress. Finally, Joe Brady, as we are speaking right now, Susie, is giving his press conference as he's meeting the local media in Charlotte because he's now the new Panthers offensive coordinator, 30 years old, viewed right now as sort of the whiz kid amongst coaches in the NFL. And big question for him right away will be, how will he maximize whoever is his quarterback? Because right now, the starter for Carolina, a little bit undetermined for 2020.
Speaking of that, new on NFL Live from our Panthers reporter, David Newton. New Panthers offensive coordinator Joe Brady says he hasn't been there long enough to address plans for Cam Newton and the quarterback position. What's wrong? 2 days isn't enough to decide the fate of starting quarterback?
We've got the Bengals already locking in on Joe Burrow. We've got Carolina deciding on Cam Newton. What's taking these guys so long?
Come on. There's no shortage of history between the Packers and the 49ers. It's the eighth postseason meeting all time. Only the Cowboys and Rams have ever met more in the playoffs. It's also the 25th consecutive meeting featuring at least one future or former MVP quarterback. Every meeting since 1987 has had Joe Montana, Steve Young, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and the two teams enter with 66 combined playoff wins. That's the second highest combined total entering a playoff game in NFL history, trailing only the 2016 Packers-Cowboys divisional round game. The last time the Packers and 49ers met in the postseason in California, they played at Candlestick Park. Let's talk about a more recent meeting. As we say hi to NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky in Green Bay. Rob, what do Aaron Rodgers and the Packers think will be different this time around after getting blown out by the 49ers in the regular season?
Yeah, Susie, Aaron Rodgers told us just a few minutes ago right here in the media auditorium that I think we all like the plan this time. Now, remember, it was just a couple of days ago that Davante Adams said, I think we have a better way to attack the 49ers defense this time. But Rodgers was quick to point out today that it wasn't so much the plan as it was the execution. He said we were so bad on third down and so bad that they were 0-4 when he was in the game. They didn't convert a third down until after he got pulled when it was over. Now, the matchup to watch, though, obviously, is Richard Sherman against Davante Adams. But Sherman only plays one side of the field, so it will be interesting to see how they attack that, whether they put Adams on that side or keep him away from Richard Sherman, Susie.
And on the flip side, you spend time around this team, and the vibe really comes from the defensive side. So what impact have the Smith brothers made on the Packers?
Yeah, you say brothers, they're not actually related, but they have even said, hey, you can call us the brothers. They do their media availabilities both together. They were at the podium here together. They do it in the locker room together. Rodgers has likened them to the impact that Julius Peppers made here when they brought him in a few years ago. Just having that presence on that side of the ball, because this has been for so long an offensive dominated team. But on one day in free agency, they signed the two Smiths and safety Adrian Amos. And remember, Amos came from the Bears, and he told me earlier this week that it's great to have guys that came from a defensive program and have brought that mindset here where it's always been offense, 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 Susie.
And Rob, you mentioned this. All eyes here on one of the most intriguing matchups of the weekend. Aaron Rodgers against Richard Sherman. Sherman has gotten the better of that matchup in recent seasons. According to NFL Next Gen Stats, Rodgers is averaging just 3.5 yards per attempt when targeting Sherman since 2016. So here's Sherman on playing against Rodgers over the years.
It's been very competitive, I guess, for lack of better words. We've played quite a few times, and the games are always good. It's rarely any blowouts one way or the other. It's always a chess match with him, and you gotta pick your spots carefully.
He's a talented player. In my opinion, never lost it. I mean, there was never a time where you're playing him where you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go after this guy. You know, I always think you have to be smart about what routes you like to throw on him, and understand that he's one of the headiest players that has ever played that position. So you got to be real smart about the types of routes you're liking on that side of the field.
Which sets up the lumberjack with a resident lumberjack, Rob. We're going to throw out some numbers, and you're going to take a swing at them.
Yep.
You're either hacking or backing. So let's start with that first one.
Okay.
Since allowing a touchdown to Chris Godwin in week one, Richard Sherman hasn't allowed a score. Do you think that continues in this game?
Goose egg, zero.
Yeah.
So next gen stats in the Rodgers matchup with Sherman said what, zero as well? Zero touchdowns? So with that, I am going to back the zero touchdown here. I think that if you're playing a Richard Sherman with a defensive front that can get after the quarterback, you don't want to mess with that. You don't want to go after Sherman. He's already angry. He seems to be angry all the time. Their backs are against the wall. They don't have enough respect. So guess what? I'm giving you the respect. I'm giving that defense the respect. I wouldn't go after Sherman. I wouldn't do that. He's too good. So I'm going with zero. That's my final answer on that one.
Okay, we're already ahead of ourselves.
We're ahead, okay.
So he's had more than 150 yes. rushing yards in three straight games. Does that continue?
So let's see. If he does rush for over 150 yards, the Tennessee Titans will be in the Super Bowl. If he does not, I feel like the Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl. So with that, I'm hacking this thing up. I'm chopping it up. If you are the Kansas City Chiefs, you come into this game and you say, if Henry runs for over 150 yards, we will lose. We will not be in the Super Bowl. We will not play in the game that we all want to play in, running out of the tunnel in the Super Bowl. So, as a defense, they are being coached all week. We got to stop Henry. We have to stop Henry. He cannot run the way he has been running, and nobody else has stopped him, but they're going to have to if they want to get to the Super Bowl. So I'm hacking that thing up.
We've been celebrating the NFL's 100th season. Now we have a chance to come full circle all the way back to Super Bowl I, Packers-Chiefs. So we have a Roman numeral, hacking or backing. Do you think we're going to see that same matchup?
It might be another 100 years before we see that matchup. I might not be around. I might be dust. So listen up. I don't think it's going to happen because of the fact when I look at the 49ers across the board, offensively, they have a great running game. They have great quarterback play with a great receiving core, the best tight end in the league. The defense gets after you. The secondary's good. They have good linebackers with Alexander. He's back from his injury. So when I look at all those things, I just don't think the Packers can get past the 49ers. So with that, I don't think we see that matchup. I don't think I see it. So packing it up. Yeah,
that was a gentle hack.
It was I was trying to go nice and light with that one.
Before we go here,
might have been a smaller piece of wood.
An update on Chris Jones.
That's right, Chris Jones, who did return to practice in a limited capacity today, said he is day to day. He, of course, is the Chiefs' best interior defensive lineman. We'll see for Sunday is his forecast. So it sounds like there's a chance, but it may not be a great one. And even if he does play, it does not sound like he'll be 100%. The Chiefs are going to need as much of Chris Jones as they can get, as we've been talking about. That number right there, 150 rushing yards, seems to be the golden ticket for the Titans.
And now back to the NFC Championship game, where we have one Super Bowl-winning quarterback and one quarterback making his championship debut, as we say hi to Mark Schwarz in Santa Clara. So, Mark, what are they saying about Jimmy Garoppolo?
You know, Susie, this is a perfect situation for these 49ers. Let's face it, they're kind of on top of the world. They may be the best team in the NFL, and they were looking for reasons to get ticked off. And they sort of have one now. Everybody's talking about how Aaron Rodgers is a future Hall of Famer, one of the greatest to ever play the game. And Jimmy Garoppolo, he threw for 131 yards against the Vikings. The 49ers are winning despite of him. I mean, you look everywhere on the internet, and the only questions about this team are about their quarterback. Well, yesterday they kind of spoke out, in fact, ranted a little bit. Mike McGlinchey, the right tackle, said, "We are sick and tired of all these comparisons. Aaron Rodgers, it's just BS. Our guy is every bit as good as Aaron Rodgers." And you know what? They're 20-5 with Garoppolo as a starter, Susie. And when I ask Garoppolo what he thinks of McGlinchey getting all ticked off about it, he says, "It's always a good day for me when my O linemen get pissed off."
Absolutely, Mark, all the time. So let's keep it on the quarterback theme, and let's head back to the AFC Championship game featuring two quarterbacks who have performed very differently when pressured this season. Patrick Mahomes posted the second highest QBR under duress, trailing only Lamar Jackson. On the other hand, Ryan Tannehill was sacked a third of the time defenses pressured him, the NFL highest rate. So Tannehill wasn't asked to do a ton last week, but when he is, he's been spot on. As now we say hi to Diana Rossini in Nashville, where the Titans just wrapped up practice. Diana, what are they saying about Tannehill's role this week?
Hey, Susie, I actually talked to Ryan Tannehill, and I asked him if this is the biggest game he's ever played in his entire career going back to high school. And he said, you know, "I don't really remember playing in an AFC championship game when I was a teenager. So, yeah, of course this is." And I asked him if he's noticed that a lot of the promos for the championship weekend includes Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Garoppolo's, their faces, Patrick Mahomes' face as well, and then Derrick Henry. He said, "Yeah, I notice it. But here's the thing. Do you think promos get you Super Bowl rings? They don't. The only thing that's going to get any respect from us is by winning this game." I also asked his head coach if he feels that perhaps, despite how great Ryan Tannehill has been this season, if maybe he's being disrespected.
Well, Derek threw a pass last week, so they're probably counting him as the quarterback. Here's what I've told our guys about respect. The only respect that you need or should ever try to earn is the respect of the players next to you and the ones across from you, not from, you know, media, outside influences. This game is played violently, physically, and I played with players that told me that you have to earn the respect of the guys next to you and the ones across from you.
So coach and quarterback obviously on the same page here. And I asked Ryan if he's going to do anything different on a Friday night every week. He says he does the same thing, actually. He spends time with his kids. Then they call the babysitter. He takes his wife out. They spend some time together. They catch up because they don't really see each other that much during the week. And he said, you know, our team's theme is let's not change anything. So we have the same theme at home. Why not change anything?
It's really been a storybook season for Ryan Tannehill. Diana Rossini, live with the Titans. Thank you. So once the season is complete, Tannehill will become one of many notable free agent quarterbacks. The free agent quarterback market might be a lot busier than usual this year. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Phillip Rivers are all franchise icons who don't have a contract for 2020. Others such as Dak Prescott and Tannehill could cash in after these big 2019 seasons. And that leads us to quarterback bingo. And Steve Young is with us as well. Part two, we're doing it a little bit different right now because this is all about quarterback question marks, teams that have quarterback question marks. We did the same thing last week, so we've left out the teams we addressed last week. Handful in there.
Okay, let's see what we got here.
Roll away.
Let's go. We need to get one in there. Sometimes it's a little fickle with... We have the Carolina Panthers.
All right.
What do you think, Steve?
What do you think about the Carolina Panthers?
I want some feedback from you guys. I feel like the Cam Newton days in Carolina are over. And if you say that's true, you have to re-sign Kyle Allen. And I don't care what it takes, you got to re-sign him. And I think they can do that. And then you got to say with your seventh pick of the draft, what are we going to do with it? Can we get Tua? Could we get Herbert out of Oregon? What do we think about those guys? Matt Rhule, what do you – you're the quarterback whisperer. Who do you look for in the next 10 years? I think a young Tua, a young Herbert, so that with Kyle Allen could be a nice start to what he's trying to do in Carolina. But if I'm wrong – and it is a healthy, you know, energized Cam Newton. It's just that, you know, you talk about binary ships headed in different directions. I mean, that Carolina Panthers are looking for two completely different stories that they got to write.
What would you think, Rob?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you have a coach come in from the college ranks. He's had a lot of experience with younger guys, how to motivate younger guys. And you have a quarterback who is a mobile quarterback, but yet he has a foot injury. Liz Frank injury is pretty serious as far as moving and running and all the things they need out of a quarterback. And the one thing he struggles with is accuracy. And when you have a quarterback that has accuracy issues and can't run like he used to, then what do you have?
Right. I don't know. He only cost $18 million
for
a quarterback.
Oh, that's nothing, right?
Yeah.
21.
Here we go. D, you got one right here.
Boom.
Oh.
Okay. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What you think, Steve?
I think it's funny because I'm involved in this story, right, with Doug Williams, myself, and Trent Dilfer, and there's quarterbacks that played in Tampa that went on to win Super Bowls. I know it shouldn't be in the context, but I feel like there's something to Tampa Bay holding on to their quarterback and doing it. You know, look, there's no question that Jameis was reckless, but he was, like, spectacularly reckless. And by the end of the season, I felt like, look, I would love to take Jameis Winston and try to refine the backside of all that stuff that cost all those turnovers and all that recklessness and take all the positive and really believe that Jameis can be their franchise quarterback into the future. I think they'd be nuts to turn the corner from Jameis. I think Jameis is their future. Let's re-sign him and let's get him coached up to get rid of the recklessness. Let's go all in.
Keep Jameis, Steve says. Hey, Steve, you going to the game this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Awesome. Have a great
time. Look at
the
coin, I guess. So.
Super. Great time. Great to see you as always. How about Rob from 0-4 in the wild card to 4-0?
I put the cologne on, okay?
Yeah.
So smelly this
well
week.
Well done. Let's see how you do a championship.
All right, we'll
weekend.
See.
So really what these picks are, they're pretty much our Super Bowl picks. Who's going to the Super Bowl? So before you make this weekend's pick, just remind everyone what your preseason Super Bowl pick was, and we'll see it above your head.
Okay. It was the Saints and the Patriots. They're both out, but, you know, some you win some, you lose some, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm back to 500 for the playoffs, so that's good.
Yep.
And so for my Super Bowl pick now, I am going the Chiefs versus the 49ers. That is my pick for the Super Bowl matchup.
Preseason?
Preseason, I went Cowboys versus the Chiefs. So I got half of it right.
And we got tons of content for Dumpster Fire.
Yes, we did.
Like a ton.
Yes, they lived in a dumpster fire. Bomb for my Super Bowl pick, I have the 49ers versus the Chiefs.
Oh.
Field.
Okay.
My preseason pick was the Chiefs and the Saints. So, again, still halfway in play. And in the interest of mixing things up, I'm going with 49ers and Chiefs as well this week. I think both teams at hold serve.
Great minds right here.
That's right.
We all think alike.
Pretty much Field and I have been on the same page. Same preseason pick.
Smart pick.
Same championship weekend pick. You know, the Titans got up on the Ravens, and that's the Ravens' Achilles heel. If they get up on the Chiefs, you saw what happened last week. It doesn't matter. Chiefs are just too explosive. They can come back. And that Niners defense, they're healthy now. Mm-hmm. Unstoppable when they're healthy.
Yeah, they get after the quarterback. They got the secondary. They got the front. Unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
So we're in agreement, which means that it's definitely going to be Titans-Packers, right?
Completely Titans-Packers.
That's how this game works.
Last stop on this Friday, championship edition of Challenge Flags. Who's up first?
Ninko's up first.
Ninko.
All right, I'm challenging the Kansas City Chiefs. You spent $113 million offseason guaranteed money for your defense. I challenge you guys to go out there, perform, stop the run. It's up to you.
And I'm going to challenge Aaron Rodgers. I got one word for you, elevate. Okay, we've seen flashes of greatness this year, but in order to beat the San Francisco 49ers, you need to elevate your team in Santa Clara.
I am challenging the starting offensive tackles for both the 49ers and the Packers. We've been talking about this pass rush all game. The Smiths for Green Bay and for San Francisco, D Ford and Nick Bosa. Big day ahead for David Bakhtiari, Brian Bulaga, Joe Staley, and also Mike McGlinchey.
Yes, you know, for the Niners, that pass rush comes in waves.
Sure
and
does.
For the Packers, it's about the Smith brothers, and namely Za'Darius Smith, who is snubbed for All-Pro and Pro Bowl. I'm challenging Za'Darius. Show them all what they missed. Enjoy the games, everyone.